Could you please tell me your name and in what capacity you served in World War II?
Edward L. Seiner. I was a member of the 804th Engineers attached to the 7th Air Force.
And in which theater or theaters did you serve?
Pacific, South Pacific.
And were you drafted or did you enlist?
I was drafted.
Do you remember the day you were drafted?
I went in October 22, 1942.
Do you remember how you felt on the day you were drafted?
Pretty good. We were having fun. A bunch of us were all together, and we just took it as it came.
How old were you when you were drafted?
19.
Where did you take your training then once you were drafted?
Hawaii.
How long were you in Hawaii?
Well, the whole duration we were in Hawaii, but we went out back and forth to islands to build runways.
That sounds like an interesting job to have during a war, to build runways. What was involved in that?
Well, we had heavy equipment and we trucks and whatever hauled. This was Coral Islands. We hauled coral always, or bulldozed, whatever you want to call it.
You were on Hawaii for the whole duration of your service. You were going out to other
That
islands
was
and
our
coming back.
headquarters,
You were
yes.
headquartered in Hawaii. How would you describe your service during the war, your experience during the war? What was it like? Were there some really rough days, or was it an even keel? Were there times when you felt very frightened, or was it being involved in a lot of day-to-day work?
The work we did, I enjoyed. That was fun. But when we got attacked, that was scary.
How many times did you get attacked?
Oh, golly, every island we went to. Several
Really?
times.
By the Japanese, I assume?
Japanese, yes.
What would happen when you were attacked?
Oh, we ran for our foxhole. Crawled in, stayed there until it was over. I never shot at anybody.
Describe for me what would happen when you would get to one of the coral islands to build the runway. What's the first thing that would happen when you got off the ship?
We went on LSTs,
What are those?
landing ship, whatever. I can't remember. Well, it was LST anyway. We hauled our equipment in the bottom and we slept on top. And we'd come to the island. Well, the first one was we just went on and built the runway. And we had all of those black fighter airplanes. We only had three. And we felt bad because we went and lost one. Japanese got one. And then we went back and to Hawaii, and then we go to the Gilbert Islands. We'd have to fight. The army in front of us had to fight to get on. And then we would land and do our job and go back. And then we went to the Solomon Islands there. There was no problem. We just went on and built the runway, and then we went back. Then we went to Saipan. That was the rough one. There were Japs just all thick, shooting at us, you know. I never got hit. I was lucky. Anyway, they had guns, the big cannons, I called them. Oh, it must have been 40, 50 in a row, and they just shot on and on, never quit. Just, oh, it was terrible. Anyway, they got rid of the Japanese, what they could. We went in and built our runway. This was a 2 mile one. This was getting ready for the big B-29s that we didn't know about yet, and the A-bomb. We were working on the runway at night, and all of a sudden, I see this guy jump off of his bulldozer. He just took a dive like that, you know, and I thought, what the hell's going on? Well, I found out they were shooting from the island of Tinian at us, you know, shells. Well, we were scared. Anyway, I crawled under a grader, and I just shook. I just bumped, shook. When it was all over, I had to go to the doctor and get the coral taken out of my skin. Really bounced.
And why were you working on the runway at night? Maybe that seems like a dumb
We
question, but I
worked
don't.
day and night. I
Oh, you
never
worked
quit.
day and night. You
Yeah.
never quit. How long were your shifts? Did
12 hours.
on average, how long were you on each island? How long would it take to build the runways?
Well, the first one was a couple of weeks. We laid metal mat for runway. Then the others, oh, few months. Then Saipan, we took a long time. I think we were there a whole year building that one. That had to be 2 miles long because these big airplanes couldn't get off if they didn't. In fact, some didn't make it. They'd go the 2 miles down in the ocean. They were so heavily loaded that they couldn't get up in the air, some of them.
So you were telling me about being attacked and took cover under a grater. And how did the coral get stuck in your skin?
Well, it's hard to explain. I was shivering, shaking, you know, scared, just bouncing. Of course, we didn't have many clothes on then. It was hot.
Sure. What was going through your mind when you were so scared? I can't imagine what that feeling must have been like. Did you find ways to deal with that fear and that anxiety of being attacked, enduring an attack?
I guess I did, yeah. I took it better than a lot of guys did. After it was over, I settled down, handled it pretty good, I thought. Some of them, it affected their minds and everything. Some got hit, but not killed. We didn't lose any men.
You didn't lose any men?
No.
That's kind of amazing, considering how much it sounds like you were attacked.
Well, our side, they fired back, and they knew exactly what to do, I guess, and they got rid of them. A couple hours or so, it was over.
And that happened at every island? You were attacked on every island?
Not every, no. Like I said, Baker, we were there just a couple of weeks. Then we were at, Gilbert's? There was no attacks. But the next one was Solomon's. Then we'd have air raids.
What was that like?
Oh, that was something else. We had tents. We lived in tents, you know, and the two befores up above and for holding it up. Bullets would go through that wood and mess around. And why we never got hit, I don't know. I was lucky, all I can say. And of course, Saipan, that was continual air raids all the time. You'd look up there and our big beam of light would be up there on a Japanese plane. We'd hope and pray that they would shoot it down. Pretty soon, here it come.
Can you tell me what day-to-day life was like? You'd work your 12-hour shift and then sleep, I suppose, or what was day-to-day life like? What did you eat? How often did you get to sleep?
Well, as a night shift, I didn't sleep much. We'd go looking for stuff, you know, Japanese, whatever we could find. And I don't know, day-to-day was just, I don't know, we knew we had to be there and do it, and that's what it was. Never thought much about it.
Just did what you had to do.
Just did what we had to do. It was our job and didn't bother us much. Once in a while, we'd get a quart of whiskey. The pilots would come in from the States and they'd bring whiskey, $40 a quart. We didn't get very many. Well, I had to throw that in. At least it was fun once in a while.
Sure. And how often did that happen?
Oh, not very often.
Very often.
Maybe every 2 months or so might get it. Then you'd have to share with your buddies.
Tell me about your buddies.
I named my son after my best friend in the Army, Jerome Becker. He was from Brilliant, Wisconsin. He was a great guy. We had a lot of good times together. And then there was a guy from Nebraska, Joe Kinsel. We were good friends, had fun, messed around a lot.
Now, when you say messed around, what did you mean? Does that go back to the quart of whiskey that would come in every now and then? Or?
Well, partly. There weren't any women, so it wasn't that. Of course, I've seen a few natives that got to looking pretty good after a while.
Well, that's understandable.
I should be saying that, I don't know.
It's all part of the experience, right?
It's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it was the Gilbert Islands. We landed there, and all the native women, all they had was a grass skirt, you know. Well, you know, we were all googly-eyed. And pretty soon, the Army comes with undershirts. Made them all put on an undershirt. We didn't get to see much then. Well, we were in the Army. We didn't know if we was ever coming home.
So you had a couple of good buddies, men that
Oh, yes.
became
Well,
very
more
good
than that,
friends.
even. Several. We were all
Sure.
buddies, you know, pretty good. You know, no enemies.
Describe for me, if you can, and you've alluded to this with the quart of whiskey, but what were some of the lighter times of the experience? What would you and your buddies do for a little bit of fun or to lighten the mood, if you will, after maybe a particularly tough day?
Well, we had fun when we went back to Oahu, island of Oahu. And I can remember we went to they had a beautiful Mormon temple there. We'd go visit that every once in a while. And we'd go down Honolulu, see the sights and whatever, down to the beach and stuff. Guess that's about it.
I'm trying to imagine what Hawaii during World War II must have been like, what it looked like and smelled like and all the people there. And can you paint kind of a picture for me of what Hawaii was like?
Well, pineapple fields, for sure. And we had, I don't know if they called them, these big plantations. And every once in a while, one of these big plantation owners would invite us for a luau. And they'd have usually a roast pig, something like that. And then they'd have poi. It was a bowl of gray matter, I called it. And I tasted it, and I couldn't handle it. I don't know what it was or why they did that, but they ate it. They used their fingers. Of course, we had a spoon, but it wasn't very good. And then we could take a trip around the island. I think it was 90 miles around and see the sights and different things, palm trees and all that. It was nice.
So do you feel like the time that you would get at headquarters and in Hawaii provided you with enough of a respite between the islands and the attacks that would happen on the islands? Do you feel like you could get back to Hawaii and get some rest and then go back out and be prepared for what was going to happen? Or was it impossible to ever really be prepared to be attacked?
I never knew whether we would or not, but we were always ready in case something happened. But like I said before, Marines, I think, went in ahead of us, and we went behind, and things were secured pretty much then. Except the chaps that were hanging up in the tree, they tied themselves up there, and then if they saw us, they'd shoot until our guys shot them out. That was the scary part sometimes, especially at night. You know, they could hide. And they also had caves that they hid in caves, and we had flamethrowers, and they'd just run that flamethrower right up to that cave and turn it on. Now, we don't know what happened inside, but we had an idea. They took care of them pretty good.
Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about your family that was back home? Did you have a wife or a girlfriend who was back here in South Dakota waiting for you?
No, I didn't even have a girlfriend.
Did you have any siblings who were serving during the war, too?
Brother.
You had one brother?
My brother was in the Navy,
Was he in the Pacific Theater as well?
Yes.
Then? Yes, so you were both in the Pacific. Yeah. Did you ever talk about your war experience with your parents? Do you know how they were feeling back on the home front, wondering and waiting? Or were you able to keep in communication with them?
Not much.
Not much.
No. A few letters from my mother. My stepfather wrote one. I don't know if I should say this, but when I left, my stepdad told my mother, he says, that's the last time you'll see him. That didn't set too good.
Did you hear him say this to your mother, or did you find out later?
Found out later. She told me. It just came to me, so I said it. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't even said it, but it's the way it was.
After the war was over, then, you came back home?
Yes.
To South Dakota? Do you remember the first thing that ran through your mind when you arrived at home at your parents' house?
Well, my mother and my sister came to meet me on the train when I got in Wagner. I got a hug, and that's about it. There wasn't too much love in my family those days. I had a stepfather, and they didn't get along, so mostly on my own.
What was the hardest thing or the most difficult thing about your experience in the war? What was the most difficult thing about your service, would you say, if you had to describe it for me.
Mosquitoes?
Were they big mosquitoes?
Oh, God. Sick. Yeah, no. That Saipan deal, that was my worst. When they shelled us and then we all had to hide under machinery and stuff. That's the worst I remember. I guess there was other times, but
Was there anything good for you that came out of the war? Or what's the best memory you have of your service?
made some good friends.
Well, your son is here with you. Jerry, is there anything that you want to ask your dad, or is there anything that you want to share that he's told you about the war?
I guess, he's told me a lot of stories over the years that I kind of remember, and as he was talking, I was thinking of a few of those things. But of course, now, I can't remember exactly what I would want to ask him, what those stories were. I remember you telling us about the lieutenant that nobody liked. You could tell us that story. And then I guess I was interested in knowing how long you were in Hawaii, when you come back from the islands, how long you stayed at headquarters versus how much time you spent on the islands, in relation to those. I guess that's a couple of things that I've thought of.
Let's hear the story about the lieutenant no one liked. Or
Well,
tell me, I guess your son's heard it before.
this was night shift again. We were working. This guy had a bulldozer, and they had a bunch of dirt dug out. Anyway, this lieutenant was down in here, and this guy on the bulldozer, why, he didn't like this second Louis, We never liked any of them. But he took his bulldozer and he started to charging him with it. And he's going to kill him until somebody jumped on the tractor with him and stopped him. Then, one night I was on guard duty. I saw something move, so I shot. And it moved again, and I shot. Nothing happened. The next morning, we looked, and it was two bullets in a tree. I'd have swore it moved. I know it moved. And then we had a warrant officer. We didn't like him either. But anyway, he dug his foxhole so he could lay in it, see? Anyway, it was a raid one night, and our guys were shooting it. They tried to get him. But he was low enough, and could have been a grave,
Oh my.
well, they didn't like him.
I'm curious, why not? What was it about the second lieutenant and this warrant officer that
Oh,
was
they
hard
were
to?
smart alecks.
Ah.
They always, they knew more than we did. Of course, we knew that, but then they didn't need to show it so much, act like idiots.
I'm curious if there's one thing that you would like someone my age, my generation, to know or understand about World War II. What I know of World War II is from movies and films like Saving Private Ryan or the miniseries Band of Brothers. But what is one thing that you would like someone my age to truly understand about World War II?
We felt pretty bad because the Japs stabbed us in the bar back at Pearl Harbor. And I'm going to talk out of turn again, but I just got no use for Japanese people. Not after what I saw.
What made you feel that? What has made you feel that way? Just the way the soldiers behaved, or more than
The
that?
way the Japanese did to our men when they captured them. Torture. Pull your fingernail out with a pair of pliers. Pull your teeth out. God knows what all they did. Makes me sad when I stop and think about it, how they did it.
Well, at this point, is there anything else you'd like to share with me or Jerry? Is there anything else that you think we should know about with your father and his service?
One interesting thing about our family is Dad's dad was in World War I. He was in the field artillery. And then Dad's son, my brother, was in Vietnam. I was in Iraq, along with my son. So we've had four generations
Oh
that have served.
my. Oh, that's really something.
My dad was gassed in the war in Germany, and then he came back afterwards. He was a farmer. He thought he had to, he wasn't, I guess he was sick, and he thought he had to pick his corn. Well, he got pneumonia, and he died. at a young age. I was 6 years old. And my brother's gone. My one son gone. They were all in the service. Him and I and his son. All that's left.
Jerry, were you and your son in Iraq at the same time?
Yes, we were both in the same unit. Company A of the 153rd Engineer Battalion. We served there for a year.
In the current conflict or the first? The current one.
Operation Iraqi Freedom.
So do the two of you talk about your war experiences?
Not a whole lot. I think I know exactly what Dad is talking about. You know, when you're asking questions and he really doesn't know how to put it into words, I know exactly what he feels because I felt the same way. Coming home and, you know, I had a special thing with my son there. You know, I was the operations sergeant, so I stayed back in the company area. He went out on missions, and how I felt when he was gone. Well, it was very scary to have him out there.
You can understand how your father feels about his war experience, but you also can understand how he felt as a father with a son in war as well.
Oh, definitely.
Edward, during World War II, did you ever think about this? Maybe this is coming out of, you know, left field, but as your son was just explaining to me how four generations have served in war from World War I to the current conflict, did you think during World War II that you would send a son and a grandson off to war as well? Or were you of the mind that this war was going to end all wars?
That's what the deal with World War II. That's what it was supposed to be. The war to end all wars. But it didn't. It never will. I always said, instead of BJ Day and Europe, we should have just kept coming around and met, conquered the whole world. Not to rule, but just to settle things, I thought. And a lot of us thought the same thing. I guess we were all glad when it was over, so we let it go at that.
Well, I can think of one thing. A 19-year-old South Dakota boy got to go see Hawaii.
Yeah, that was nice. It really was, yeah. Yeah, I never really minded being in service. I didn't. It didn't bother me any. I was glad to get out, but afterwards, years later, I wished I'd have stayed.
Really? Why's that?
Well, I don't know. It was a pretty good life, I thought, when we weren't fighting, you know. I kind of enjoyed it. I could have retired young and got another job. Like he's doing.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with me about your war experience or anything, any more stories or...
When we first went to Hawaii, I went with one of my buddies. We rode a Liberty ship, converted cattle ship to human beings. We rode that together, and that took 30 days to get to Hawaii. And when I got there, well, I was assigned to the engineers, and he went to the infantry, and some of the other guys went different. But one of the highlights was we'd have these games for recreation, whatever, and I'd get to see several of these guys from here. We'd get together and have good times.
Have you ever talked with your grandson about your war experiences? Have you two shared any stories?
Not too much, no. Nobody wants to say anything.
Just don't want to talk about it.
I guess not.
I just can't imagine in a family with four generations serving. I don't think I've ever met anyone that has had four generations serve
really?
Like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more common than I realize, but just sort of astounds me a little bit. Astounds isn't the right word, but it's, you know, it makes me think some families pay the price more than others.
Yes, I guess. Well, he's got two sons in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. Younger ones in too.
Yeah, I served in Iraq, and when I came back, everybody treated us like we were heroes. You know, we had parades and all this stuff. But to me, the real heroes are the guys like my dad and all the other World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, Vietnam. Now, those are the real heroes, you know, the guys who went before me. And I really appreciate what they did.
That's another thing, see. Japan attacked us. And there was no problem going to war for me. But when these guys have to go like this, I don't like it. Not right. Shouldn't be that way. That's been several wars back, Korea, Vietnam.
Does it bother you at all that you served because you had to? I mean, because you served because you had to, but you were just saying a little bit ago that it was the war to end all wars, and yet here you've had two sons and at least one grandson have to fight a war that in which you don't understand, because it wasn't like World War II when the Japanese attacked us, like you say. Does that cause some conflict in your feelings?
Upsetting, yes. Mm-hmm. But what's done is done, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can't do anything about it now.
Do you feel like we covered your experience and your stories enough?
Well, I guess so. All that I can think about anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you, Edward, for letting me interview you today. Thank you for sharing your stories with me. And thank you both for your service to our country.